quick, and then we'll get into preaching. Favorite color. I had zero ideas I was going to do any preaching today until about 7:30 this morning. I picked this out yesterday, so it was an act of God, and we'll just leave it at that. But I had no clue. Pastor texted me this morning. I think Wednesday we did that little service for Xander and the family, and we're able to just present the gospel. God really laid it on my heart throughout the week. I prayed and prayed for that family. I prayed that just the simplicity of the message that was preached, I couldn't imagine but to say that there was people that that message would have fallen on fertile soil in their lives. And so just a simple gospel truth. And so keep them in prayer. I know Brother Wilson didn't share it. I did see it right before we come here, but Pastor had shared that they are that we can donate towards the funeral cost. If God lays that on your heart, I was going to mention that tonight. I just saw it on Facebook as we were coming here. Right before I left, I checked. I looked at Facebook before we came here, and so Pastor had said that we can help share the expense of that if God lays that on your heart to share. I'm sure you can get with Brother Wilson. I'm sure if it ended up in the offering plate or you just call the church or however you want to do it, but that would be a blessing to them. Nobody ever plans on losing someone, and so usually the financial burden is a tough one. I know the same thing with my mom. You know, luckily my dad, somehow through an insurance that he had on my mom, it paid for a big percentage of it, and I think some people helped. And so anyways, if you can be a blessing to them in that way, that would be much appreciated. And so in normal fashion, we have to hydrate. And so we just got to, like I said, if I ever am a pastor at a church again, I'm going to have a thing right here that looks like the mic for this, but it's really just going to be a straw so I can drink as I preach. But anyways, God laid something on my heart. I wanted to preach out of Habakkuk. When Pastor let me know this morning, I just prayed about it all morning, and I went home and I told my wife, I said, man, I preached a message one time out of Habakkuk. I said, but I had an illustration in there. I just wanted to pull the illustration and rewrite the message. Well, God closed the door to that real fast, and he took me back to about where we were, where I preached a couple of weeks back in 2 Corinthians. What God gave me today is kind of a follow-up message on what we preached about a few weeks back in 2 Corinthians. If you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to just pave the foundation real quick. I've got some other scripture in here, and then we'll be over in Galatians. But I'm going to go ahead, and before we get into preaching, I'm going to ask, so we got plenty of time. I'm going to go ahead and pray and ask God to bless this time. And so let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather in your house, Lord. We just thank you for the songs that we're saying, Lord, and how we can worship you through song. And Father, how you lay stuff on our hearts to sing. And Father, how we can worship and praise your name through song. And Father, I pray that now you would open the hearts of this church up, Lord, to receive this message. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to speak. I pray you would help me to exit myself out of this, Lord, and that you would fill me with your Spirit. And Father, nothing that I say and nothing that I do is of me. Lord, that it's done of you and through the Spirit of God. And Father, I pray that you would empower me and give me freedom and liberty to speak. And Father, just give me the words to say that you would wish me to speak. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. And so when we looked a few weeks back, we were in 2 Corinthians, and I'm trying to think, it wasn't too long ago I was preaching, and I had started building this message. I've actually never even finished it, and I found it today, and God gave me the freedom and liberty to be able to finish what we're going to look at today. But I want to build real quick in case you weren't here. I'll build for a minute on where we were, and then we'll move on to what God's laid on my heart. And so we were in 2 Corinthians 5, and one of the key verses we used was verse number 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I have conversated four or five times, once with Steve. Me and Steve have had a conversation on this and a couple of other people. But a lot of what I focus in on is a new creature in Christ. And what we hone in on tonight will all be in Christ. A lot of people, maybe unsaved people, they look at these freedoms that we have and these things that we have in Christ. Well, these are things that we gain when we become saved. Amen. And one of the other things I looked at was on verse number 12, for we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart." You know, God really looks at a heart, and us as human people, we really focus in on the outside, don't we? That's our flesh. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how many messages you preach. It doesn't matter any of that. We in our human flesh hone in on the outward appearance of people. And that's a lot what Paul's sitting here trying to teach. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. But yet that's what we hang up on so much and so often, right? It's a thing that we have in our flesh. We're born with our flesh. We're going to live the rest of our life with it. I like how Steve put it that one day. That's why that flesh is going to rot in the grave, is because it's no good. You know, we have to live with it. But when we look at that, and then just looking at where henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know Christ after the flesh, but where henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Our position in salvation as a new creature, having that new vision and a new perspective in life, we shouldn't be judging people by their flesh. You know, so many times I can tell you, I've seen it. People will walk in the back doors and they'll look a little rough. You know, there's a few people that they'll walk around and you see people dodging around them. But we should just be boldly confronting them and treating them with grace, amen? Because that's how I would want to be treated. Like I said, I have scars, and Pastor calls them scars of the grace of God, and people judge me for it. I'm blind to it, and I always use myself because I don't want to bust roll somebody else and make somebody else mad, but I'm blind to it. It is something that I'm oblivious to in this position in my life. I'm so thankful by the grace of God that He's forgiven me in it and that, but it's something I have to live with for the rest of my life. But people judge. It's our human nature. But anyways, if you want to roll over, I'm just kind of paving the way into this. If you want to go over to Galatians chapter number 5, I'm going to preach through some of this, and then we'll get to what God's really laid on my heart. But we looked at the real purpose and the meaning is a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, new creature, new person, new purpose. That is our position in Christ. New perspective, new eyes, or a new vision. How is this all accomplished? Well, it's all accomplished by the grace of God and simplicity, but we will get into more of it. But that's why I wanted to sing that song. God really laid that song on my heart, because everything in the Christian life is accomplished by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we can stand before anybody and proclaim His truth. It's by the grace of God that we can still meet openly, freely, without persecution, and preach the gospel message and reach people. Amen. And so everything is accomplished by the grace of God. But in simplicity, that's what it is. But ask yourself this question: am I accomplishing these things? When we get saved, when we're born again in Christ and we get saved, it is in our position to do these things. It is to, we receive the grace of God and we reciprocate it. We show the grace of God. But if our perspective has not changed on the human flesh in the world, then we're not accomplishing it, right? Because we would be judging everybody for the things that they've done. But look at our position in salvation, forgiven of our sins, amen? Jesus bore those sins on the cross. We've been acquitted of them. Jesus bore those sins on the cross. We don't have to pay the punishment for it. And so we should reciprocate that to other people. That should be our position in it. I really wanted to preach something that was just driven towards New Year's. I know that's what Pastor wanted to do today. I feel bad for him. There are many times, there's a lot of messages you can miss throughout a year, but being able to preach a Christmas message and an Easter message and preach a Mother's Day, those big days, New Year's, this has been his first message, and I'm sitting here going, how did I get to be put in the position of this one? But anyways, I'm so thankful for that. But ask yourself this question: am I accomplishing these things? When I got saved and I became a new creature, a new person, and did I have a new purpose? Do I have a new perspective on life? New eyes and new vision. Is that something that God has done in my heart? Have I allowed God to do this in my heart? Have I, the position of having that sensitive leading of the Spirit of God in my life to be able to accomplish these things? Amen? And that's what I want to look at tonight. I did not, as Ken, what do you say? Mind of truth? I didn't mind some crazy, I don't have a crimson worm theory tonight, but I tell you right now that God gave me something good. Amen. No, I like giving a kid a hard time. But ask yourself these things. Am I accomplishing these things? In Christ, do I have a new purpose, a new perspective, and a new vision? Do I look and treat people differently? We ought to, right? In our position in Christ, in my position in salvation, I look at it, and it's hard. Some people are harder to love than other people. I'll tell you that right now. I deal with people all day long. Ken, you're easy to love. You just got to tone it out, brother. But it is. I deal with people all day long, and there are people that are really, really hard to just treat great. You know what I mean? When somebody comes in and lets you have it, it's hard to deal with it, you know? But do I look at and treat people differently? Has there been a change in my life? The Spirit of God does the change from the inside out, not outside in. Let the Word of God do the work of God. And what I'm getting on that is we don't look at the outward appearance. Is when somebody comes in those doors and it's the first time they ever come in here and they look a little rough and they come up here and they kneel before a worthy God and they get saved. Somebody opens the Bible and saves them. We don't walk up to those people next thing you know is like, I put a tie on, man. We let the Word of God do the work from the inside out. And that's so often we continue judging people and people come in the doors. Do you know why a lot of people won't come to church? I have literally talked to so many people and they go, I don't want to feel conviction, which to me that's a natural thing in our life. We don't want to be shown the wrong position in our life, or they don't want to feel judged. And it's hard because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm telling you, people should feel love and acceptance and grace to walk in the church doors. Amen? And if they walk in those doors, we as people should show it to them, reciprocate it to them, because I'm unworthy of my position in salvation. I'm unworthy of the grace that's been bestowed on me. If the best thing that I can do is show grace to somebody walking through those doors, amen, that's all I ever get to do for my salvation. Kind of like Ken puts that, Roy had said, I don't know how they do it, but I'll do it, amen. But then we look at, but let the Word of God do the work of God. Romans 13 and 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust therefore, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single day we have to do that. We have to wake up with this flesh. It doesn't go away. You don't just, when you're saved, you just don't become a better and better person. You still have to make that decision every single day to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and be that shining light that's in our community to shed the grace abroad that's been bestowed in our lives. So we look at Romans 13 and 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust therefore. We must make the decision to walk with a new vision, a new perspective as a new creature in Christ. I can tell you, I've seen it. I would never say someone's name, but you can see it from the outside. People that have been saved for years and years and years and never, ever let God work in their life. Never, ever let God tenderize their heart to the ministry. Every single person. I remember being in a church, I think when Teresa's grandpa was, we did his funeral over there in Bayfield. And I think that one time there might have been a sign here. But as you walked out that church door, there was a sign right there that says, you are now entering your mission field. And as a believer in Christ, the moment you leave this building, that is your mission field. Every single one of us are a missionary to a point. We are to reach people for Christ, amen? That is our position in salvation. And I like to show up and sing. I'll tell you right now, I love singing. I'm not good at singing. I love to sing, and I look forward to singing because it's a way that I can communicate with God and just communicate my heart. He looks at my heart in it and how I feel. But when we leave this place, we don't just stop right here. It should be in our workforce. I'll tell you right now, I'll testify to the goodness of our pastor. We are hunting. And when I'm hunting, it's hunting. That's what we're doing. We're on a mission. We are hunting. We're not lollygagging. We're hunting. So we take James, I'll tell you, this is my story for the night. So we take James Smith's boy out, and they were having a hard time finding a deer, and I called a farmer I know, and he let us take him out there. We pull up, Derek and James take off, do their little hunt, shoot a deer. We go get the deer out. I call Pastor because I'm like, hey, I got enough time right now. You got an elk tag. Let's go hunting because I don't want hunting to be done. So he hauls Bud out there. We gets in. We go do our hunt. We seen some elk. We come back, and we had left his vehicle there. So me and James and Jennifer, the whole family, they're all, we're dropping Pastor off. Game warden pulls up. I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, first thing he says, I'm like, I'm a kind of a preacher. He's a preacher, so just leave us alone. No. And I didn't say that. And we're talking. Mid-conversation, we're just trying to get through the gist of this. I'm going somewhere with this good. Because actually it floored me how he was. So she's questioning everything. She's looking for, and I always have a sarcastic answer. She's asking for proof of sex on the animal, and I'm like, the head's still attached. See the antlers? Like, you know, and she was looking for other things. So she didn't care for that. So I'm sitting here doing that. And then Pastor goes, oh, you know what? Tomorrow is Sunday. I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. You should show up. And I'm sitting here like, really, after I was just giving her a hard time? You know, but his position in reaching people is endless. We've all seen it. We've all seen it. And it's just another testament of how God works in his life. I was sitting here giving somebody, you know, just being nice, like poking. And he's sitting here trying to reach this person for Christ. It really actually burdened me because it was a small thing in the moment. But later I went, why was I giving her a hard time, jokingly, you know? And he's sitting here trying to reach this lost soul, you know? If that's all you get out of tonight, it was worth it, amen? But it really was. And it actually burdened my heart for weeks and weeks afterwards that, am I doing my purpose? For what God saved me for, the grace that he's bestowed in my life, am I worthy of it? Well, I'm not. I'm in my flesh. I'm not. But it gave me a different outlook on life. That any person that we come in contact, we should have a new perspective, a new vision, a new outlook towards them. That they are just a lost soul that we could reach with what God has given us. Amen. And that's a lot of what I want to put here. But we must make the decision every day to walk in that. Every single day. Look at every situation, every person through new eyes. That is our position in that. And like I said, thankfully I had that illustration with Pastor. But how do we do this? Look at every situation and every person through new eyes. How is this accomplished? Point number one, this is the first point message I've ever done in my life. Renewing your mind. Just because you're saved, we have this continual position of the sanctification process, and that is the position of growing. But we have to have a place of renewing our mind. My mind is different. I look at everything. I like to joke, and I like to have fun. But in that moment, I now look at it, and I go, Pastor led and set the example, but I could have been the one that invited her. Even James. James has said the same thing. He said, man, I wish I would have. I didn't think about that. I was sitting here dealing with the business. I'd never thought of doing that. We have to renew our mind that every situation that we come in contact with a person that is lost or we don't even know, we still have to do it. And I've come a long ways. You can ask my wife. I'm not going to let her embarrass me with it tonight. But the first time God really laid this on my heart 6 or 7 years ago, we have to. When you go to dinner every single night or whenever you go to dinner, leave a gospel tract. Put the money inside of it because they have to open it to see it, to read it. Do something. Get creative in how we are reaching people. But by a renewing of our mind, Romans 12:2, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed. We need to be set apart in this world. Amen. We've got to be a gospel light to this little community. Amen. In our workplace, every single one of us goes somewhere in Walmart. If it just takes you walking through Walmart with a smile on your face, amen, and that is hard to accomplish, I know that, but you can still reach someone through that. The curiosities. I don't know. The cashier. I used to give cashiers a hard time, and now that I have to work with people day in and day out on that, I don't do it anymore because there's days that my heart is heavy, really, in all God's honest truth, that my heart's heavy, and if Ken came in and started giving me a hard time, it wouldn't go well. Amen? But by renewing of our mind, and he doesn't come in and do that anyways, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed. Be set apart in this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That should be our position as a new creature in Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, people should be able to pick it apart. I'm a sinner just like anybody else, but I pray that when people come into my place of work, that they walk out of that place and they would know that there was something different. Amen. Amen. Just through your walk, through your talk, and how you are. Amen. By renewing of your mind, in this we will have new eyes for lost souls. When I look at my position in salvation, look at all the people. I mean, I get burdened with it heavy. Look at all the people every single day that are perishing, that are dying, that are going to hell, that have never accepted Christ as their Savior. If every single, when I put it this way, how many people are in here tonight? 50 people? If every single person in this room spread the gospel message to just one person, and that one person spread it to a person, how many people would we reach? Amen? Amen? And that's how it's accomplished. It's just not that simple. In this, we have a new eyes for the lost souls, a new heart for God's word, a new focus on what actually matters. Amen. Acceptable and perfect will of God. Everything is acceptable in this world. That is a true statement. Just go look out in this world and see how it is. Boys dressed like girls and just the whole thing. Go to Durango and go look at any parade and you will see stuff that is acceptable in this world. Everything is acceptable in this world. But is it the will of God? That's where we should be looking at. Is it the will of God? In salvation we are promised an extreme transformation. Sinner to saint, trading in these old rags for a robe of righteousness, that should give us a new vision and a new purpose. It's a new identification in Christ. I get excited when I think about that. My position in salvation, trading in these rags for a robe of righteousness, amen? But how is it accomplished? This is where I want to look at Galatians 5, and we'll be short and I'll let you get you guys out of here ahead of time, amen? I promise. That's why I wanted to sing another song. If not, we'd be out of here quick. I'm just kidding. But looking at this, we should, in Christ, we should have a new perspective, a new outlook on life. Our eyes should look at people absolutely different. Everything about us should be changed, amen? But look at Galatians 5 and 13, Galatians 5 and 13, and we're going to read a few verses here. But Galatians 5 and verse number 13, looking at how this is accomplished. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in thus, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour others, or one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Verse number 13, let's look at that, and that's where we'll start. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In salvation, you have freedoms. Don't just use them as an occasion for the flesh. We should have a new vision in Christ. Paul teaches now that you are now you understand your freedoms in Christ. Don't use them to fulfill the flesh. He teaches them to have a new vision in their freedoms. And he's talking, and Paul, everything to do with the Galatian church, he's reteaching the Galatian church of what had been gone on. But an illustration of verse number 13, but by love serve one another. It's easy to serve. It's easy to show up and just work every single day. It's easy for someone to call me and just go do something out of just doing it. But doing it with love brings a whole different aspect. That is how we are going to change how we do stuff, right? It's one thing to serve someone. It's a whole different thing to serve them by love. Amen? That means doing it with the right heart. And there's times that we do stuff just because it needs to get done. Amen? But in our position every single day and serving people in our community, in whatever capacity it is that you work in, whatever capacity it is you work in this church, serve with love. Now, I know that some of us music people lost a little love this morning. We were kind of jokingly talking about it, but it happens. Boy, I was getting frustrated because I'm not a powerful singer. I can't lead music in a big, powerful way. I don't have that ability. I don't. God didn't give it to me. Heather's sitting down here like, just kill it. And I'm just smiling through it with love, just like, oh, Lord, get us through this. Amen. We all could have gotten super mad and thrown a fit, but what would it change? It didn't change anything. Serve with love. Amen. And that's what I do sometimes. No. But serve, but verse number 13, for brethren ye have been called unto these liberty, but only use these liberties for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's not as easy as it sounds. Verse number 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Hard truth to swallow. If you're Steve Chappell, Liz way out there on the point. Don't got too many neighbors. Pretty easy thing. No. I said, no. He does. I'm just giving him a hard time. Love thy neighbor. It's not talking literally, but love thy neighbor as thyself. Hard truth to swallow, isn't it? There are people that are easier to love than other people. It's just the way the world is. It's easier for me to get along, I'll just be honest, get along with someone who hunts and fishes because we share something. But it doesn't always work that way. God's not going to be like, okay, Vince, I'm only going to use you and this portion of the church because they're the hunting people. No, that's not what it is. It's love thy neighbor as thyself. What about that lady? That's what we do when we think about this. Love thy neighbor as thyself. What about that lady? Yes. What about that one guy? Yes. New vision for who people are. New vision for who people are. Forgiveness. So many times people in our past, people that have hurt us, are the hardest people to love, right? But we still have to serve them with love. Do you know why? Because that's what Christ did. And in order for us to have a Christ-centered life, to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, we have to serve people with love. Even the people that it's hard to. New vision for who people are. Forgiveness in what they have done. Don't just forgive when you want. Forgive always. Amen. Do you know that the root of bitterness is unforgiveness? That is literally where it starts. I had no clue about that. Things that I struggled with in my life. Pastor handed me a book one day. I've probably said this before. Pastor hands me a book one day that Dr. Arbery Ouellette wrote. And it's When You Just Can't Get Over It. And then he hands me this book. And I read through the front of it. And I kid you not, this is what I did. And God worked in me in the greatest and mightiest way I've ever in my life. I went, so-and-so needs this. So-and-so needs this. That's what I did. Pastor's like, I did the same thing. When I got that book, I'm like, man, I'm going to read through this. Do you understand the things that, by reading that book that God did in my life, with understanding that unforgiveness is the root of bitterness and the reason that I have the issues in my life were because of not forgiving? True, God's honest story, life-changing. I know they've taught through it. But then, and then the other thing is, then whenever you get to hear him preach, and then you go read the book again, you have that voice in there, and it's moving, it's powerful. And God used that in a great and mighty way. But new vision for who people are, forgiveness in what they have done, not just forgiving when we want to forgive, always doing it with love. You can say that you've forgiven somebody, but are we serving that person with love? Are we doing it with love in our heart that we are actually allowing it to happen? And none of this is accomplished in ourselves. I couldn't forgive somebody without the own grace of God being bestowed in my life. I don't know how people who operate out in the world that are not saved, amen? If it weren't for the grace of God forgiving me for what I've done, I don't know how I could reciprocate that to somebody else, amen? Verse number 16. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Nothing good, nothing godly can or will be accomplished in our flesh. Amen? Trust me, you. If you don't need an illustration on it, I will tell you, it just will not work. We have all been there. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse number 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The flesh and the Spirit are complete opposites and will fight each other continually. It's just what one, excuse me, ooh, that was bad. It's just what one are we giving into. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every single day we have to make that decision. Are we going to wake up and are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to walk led in the Spirit with a new vision and a new purpose, a new outlook on life? Are we going to try to accomplish it through the flesh? We already learned that nothing can be accomplished in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When the Spirit of God transforms us, and we surrender to the will of God for our life, we will have a new vision and a new purpose in life. Amen? And that is what God really laid on my heart for you guys tonight. It's just kind of following up what we did a couple of weeks ago, using God's word, obviously. But I want to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then the piano can play for a short moment. We'll have a short time of invitation, but as I pray, you can